Scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Then Abraham took up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw that all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. In our passage today, we find two different men, Lot and Abraham. There's been a lot of sermons preached on Abraham, not too many sermons preached on Lot. I heard a fellow give an explanation for that. He said, "You know, there aren't very many Abrahams, but there's a lot of Lots." But both of these men came from the same family. Lot was born to Abraham's brother. They had similar backgrounds. We find that after Lot's father died, Abraham took the job of watching him and taking care of his brother's son. When Abram left home in the land of Ur and he traveled to Canaan, he took Lot with him, and Lot seemed willingly to go. But Lot was not someone who was dependent upon Abraham. We see in verse 5 of this passage that Lot also had herds and servants. He had his own stuff, his own things. And in all respects, Lot seemed also destined to become as rich as his uncle Abraham. But as time goes on, Lot's servants and Abraham's servants begin to quarrel over the resources that were necessary to keep their flocks thriving. Abraham gives Lot a generous option. He has the choice of which part of the country he wants to dwell in. Lot chooses the area of the lower river valley around the south of what is now today called the Dead Sea. The place at that time was compared to the Garden of God, the Garden of Eden, for its beauty and for its lushness. But also, it was the place of several wicked, very wicked cities. But Lot chose what he thought was best. And he thought he made the right choice, because that is what would make him prosperous. But God was still working in the life of Lot. God doesn't give up on people, aren't you glad? And God was even working in the lives of those people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we find that a war breaks out. Actually, what happens is they have been under the subjection of this certain king from a long ways away. And so they decide to rebel, and he brings his army in, and he captures them and takes them away. We must never think that affliction is just a bad luck situation. Many times God uses affliction because He's trying to speak to us through that. And I've wondered this week about Lot, as Lot was all settled in there at Sodom, and all of a sudden these armies come and take him and his family away. If Lot wondered what his outcome might be now. I imagine that for the two or three days that he was in that situation, he thought very strong and hard about the choices that he had made. But Abraham got his servants together, and God gave them a great victory. He rescued Lot and his family, plus all the other captives that they've taken from Sodom. And they brought them back, and Lot resettled right back where he was. Now, Peter tells us that Lot was oppressed by the sensual conduct of the unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. That's from 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 7 and 8 from the New American Standard Bible. But he stayed. Even though it bothered him about Sodom, even though he didn't like the way they lived and the things that they did, he stayed. He stayed there. You have to realize that for a person to live someplace that they don't like, there must be something that they like an awful lot in order to make that compromise. But after the story is all over, the end of Abraham and Lot are quite different. The Lord appears to Abraham and he tells him that he and Sarah are going to have a child for which they've waited 24 years. Now, that wouldn't be too bad if you started waiting when you were 20. But they started waiting when they were 75 and 65. So, Abraham and Sarah are now going to be 100 years old and 90 years old when the child is born. But as God talks to Abraham, He also reveals to Abraham that the wickedness of Sodom has become so great that he's going to destroy that place. And Abraham thinks, what about Lot? So he begins bargaining with God. He says, well, God, I know that you're a righteous God. Would not all the Lord of all the earth do what's right? Will you destroy the wicked and the righteous too? Supposing that there are 50 righteous there. And God says, well, if there's 50 righteous, then I won't destroy the land. And Abraham, he begins to wonder whether or not there's really 50 righteous there. And through a whole progression of things, he gets God down to 10. You see, Lot and his family made up at least 8 people. There was Lot, his wife. He had 2 daughters still at home. He went to see his daughters, so that means there were at least 2 daughters who were married and their husbands. That makes 8. And so I think Abraham was hoping that there were at least 2 others. But God did not spare the city, but He did spare Lot. Although, not probably the way that Lot wanted. So how could these two men, who came from the same family, similar backgrounds, similar upbringing, how could they end up so entirely different? You know, some people might say, well, you know, Lot just had a lot of bad luck. And Abraham just seemed to be, everything went well for him. But I don't really think that that's the reason. I think there's a more important reason for the outcome of each of them. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. As we look at Abraham and Lot, the first thing that we notice is that they had a lot of similarities. And we've mentioned some of them already. Both of them were probably what we would call Christian today. No doubt about Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faithful, right? I mean, we've studied that in the book of Romans. No doubt he would be called a Christian. But the verse that we read in 2 Peter refers to Lot as being righteous. It says that his soul was vexed. Righteous Lot. Have you ever wondered how come Christians can get into such messes? It's because we're people. And we have the sin nature like we've been talking about in Romans. They also had the same parentage. Terah. How many of you like genealogies? How many of you just like your own genealogy? You don't really want to hear about somebody else's family, right? Don't you love it when you go over someplace and they start showing you the family album? Well, in Abraham's family album, there was Terah. He was the father of Abraham and he was the grandfather of Lot. Lot's father died young. And no doubt, when he died, Terah took over raising him. But Terah eventually died, and when he died, that job fell to Abraham. We don't really know how old Lot was during any of this, although he could have been a similar age to Abraham. Now, also, similarly, they both followed the call of God. You know, I think that when Abraham, we've talked about this before as a husband, goes to Sarah and says, God wants us to move, and Sarah says, well, that's nice. Where are we moving? And Abraham says, well, I don't know. That probably didn't go over real well around the supper table. But now, here we've got Lot. Abraham says, God's called me to go to this place, and Lot goes with him. So I think that, you know, Lot bought into that in a certain way. I think that he bought into that. You know, Lot could have stayed home with the rest of the family. There was family that was still there, but he didn't. Both of them became rich because God blessed them tremendously. And we see that that was part of the problem that they had, was that they had so much stuff. It's kind of like nowadays. A young couple starts out with a house. They build a garage. When they turn 45, they build a shed back behind the garage to keep the junk in. Well, it wasn't junk Abraham and Lot had. It was sheep and goats and that kind of thing, and there just wasn't enough. And so that was, you know, it's a problem, but not. But they were also different. They had different walks. We've been studying in the book of Romans where Paul says that those who walk according to the flesh, right? Those who walk according to the Spirit. Abraham and Lot had different walks, even though both of them, as we said, were no doubt Christians. Abraham walked with the Lord. And there is no record of Lot ever doing that. That's sad. You know, as the fellow said, if you were arrested for being a Christian today, would they find enough evidence to convict you? That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, if they came into your home and they searched your computer and they searched your bookshelves and they looked at the magazines that you read and they got on the Mediacom and they found out the movies that you've watched and they went up to the movie theater or the movie rental place and they found the movies that you'd rented, would they have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Or would they let you go and say, no, he's not one of those bad people? But there's no record of Lot ever doing anything like that. What we find is we find that Abraham built altars everywhere that Abraham went. Every time he moved from one place to another place, he never built a house. They lived in tents all their lives. How's that appeal to you, ladies? Huh? Where would you like me to hang this picture, honey? Well, anywhere you can get a nail to stick. Not going to work. He never built a house, but everywhere he went, he built an altar. He worshiped God. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." Now that's in verse 7. I want you to notice in verse 8, "And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And what? There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." Wouldn't you say, wait a minute, Abraham, you know, you're not staying there very long. Verse 7 runs right into verse 8. Why go to all the bother to build an altar? But he did. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 4, it talks about he went to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And then in verse 18, it says, "Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which is in Hebron." And what did he do? "And he built an altar there to the Lord." And of course, the most famous altar was that he built in Genesis 22 and verse 9. It says, "And they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Worship says, "God is important to me." Worship says, "God is important to me." But the opposite is also true. Never once in all of the record of Lot does it ever say that he built an altar, he called upon the Lord, that he worshiped. There is no record of it. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm just saying that there's no record of it, which is important. When God asked Abraham to offer up his son, it demonstrated what? It demonstrated how important God was to Abraham. You see, what God had done when he asked Abraham to offer up his son, his only son Isaac, is because Isaac was the most important thing in Abram's life. More important than his own life. But when God called on Abram to offer Isaac up to God, God was still more important than Isaac. There's a pattern here, folks. Abraham taught his children that God was important. Lot did not. How did that work out for him? It worked out very well for Abraham. You see, Abraham had a very full understanding of who God was and who he was. You know? I have absolutely no regard for any movie star whatsoever. If one walked in here today, I wouldn't even care to get their autograph. Why? Because they are nothing. They are no different than, you know, half the people in this congregation, if you wanted to be an actor, you could. We all know it doesn't take a lot of brains. And it doesn't take any morals at all whatsoever. You know, just because you happen to be the son of an actor that starred in a movie sometime, does that mean you're, you know. So, but the point that I'm getting at is that the world, that is their, that's, you know, the thing. That's what we want to be. That's what, you know, lives of the rich and famous. Lot was looking for the lives of the rich and famous. Abraham understood that even though in the plan of God he was very famous, yet God was the most important thing. He understood that worship was important. And he practiced a costly worship. When he offered a sacrifice, he had to kill these animals. That costs money, right? I mean, they didn't have an offering. Nobody came around and passed the offering plate. But when he worshiped, he had to kill these animals. He had to sacrifice them. And that's how important worship was to him. At best, Lot seemed content to just allow Abraham to do that. He goes with Abraham. Abraham builds an altar. And Lot's there during all of this. And he's content to allow Abraham to do that. But as far as that, we don't know that he ever entered into that. So not once do we ever find Lot building an altar or calling up on the Lord or anything like that. Also, Abraham had a living relationship with God. Abraham talked to God like God really existed. You know, that's what's so neat about children when they pray. They talk to God as though He was there. Christians, we talk to God as though we were making a speech. You know? As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes we have to have our prayers all printed out. And I'm not against prayers being printed out, except for, you know, supposing that you feel like praying something else at this time. You know, when you wrote the prayer was one thing. But Lot never did any of that. Abraham had a living relationship with God. We find that Abraham followed God's leadership. He trusted in Him alone. And Abraham sought God above everything else. What was Lot seeking? Wealth. He wanted to get rich. I think he was a little envious of his older uncle who had all these riches, all these servants. When Lot was in Sodom and got captured and Abraham got his servants, I can't remember the number. It seems to me it was like 300 and some servants. You know, you've got a pretty good household when you've got to feed 300 and some people. Those were the number of servants who could handle a sword. That doesn't count their wives and their children. And I think Lot said, boy, I'd like to be like that. And someday I will be. Also, when Abraham told Lot he could pick out whichever part of the land that he wanted, he chose the best. You know, I think what he should have said, I think we can work this out. You know, I'd rather stay with you. God has blessed you, but He doesn't. He makes the choice that's purely going to benefit him. Which is the greatest person? Abraham or Lot? Right there you can tell. Lot takes what he wants so that he can have everything that he wants. He has no regard for Abraham. But what's the result of all of this? Abraham, his life had such an effect on his family that it lasted for generations. It says in Genesis chapter 18, God is speaking. He says, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him." You get that? Abraham's going to live in such a way that his children are affected by it for generations to come. That's what's going to take place. That's the result of what Abraham does. The only effect that Lot had on his family was everything ended up in total destruction. Because Abraham sought the Lord first, God gave him everything that he wanted. Didn't Jesus say, "Set your mind on things above, seek the Lord first, and then God will add all these things to you"? But Lot, he lost it all. He lost his position as judge in Sodom. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. Because when the angels came and said, "Lot, God's going to destroy the city. You need to get your family out of here." He went to his daughters and his sons-in-laws, it says, and they thought he was joking. Why? Folks, you just can't walk into somebody's house after they've known you for years and start telling them how important God is to you. It's a little late. If you don't live it, you can't sell it. And they thought he was joking. Genesis 19:14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, "Get up! Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. It's obvious that his family had never took Lot's faith seriously. And the reason is I think that he did not live consistent with what he believed. Believing something and living it are not necessarily the same. He lost all respect when his daughters committed incest with him in order to get pregnant by their father. Lot had passed on his moral teaching, had not passed on the moral teaching he'd received from his parents to his children, like Abraham had done to his. He neglected the instruction of his children in the way that the Lord would show. How could these two very similar men from the same family turn out so differently? It was not in their upbringing. It was not in their education. It was not in their religious training. It was not in that they had different abilities. The overwhelming evidence is that one of them sought God for himself and for his family, while the other sought out the world and had little time for God, even though he knew better. You see, it wasn't that he didn't know any better. That's why he's called Righteous Lot. He knew better, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Only a glimpse of hope for Lot is found in a woman born some 900 years later. That's a long time to wait for any redeeming value in your family, isn't it? A descendant of his named Ruth would become the great grandmother of David. There's still hope for you and your family today. God doesn't promise us that living the life that He wants us to live is easy, but it will have eternal rewards for generations to come. The question is it really worth that much to you? Abraham said yes, and Lot said no. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to be like Abraham and not be like Lot. Help us to live out our faith so that there would be enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian if we were arrested. Help us, Heavenly Father, give us the strength to live the life that You want, even in the face of difficulties, even in the face of those who would cast scorn at us for doing what the world thinks is so foolish. Heavenly Father, be with the fathers here today. Help them to be courageous in their following of You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.